busy week, and Dan Shore is here to talk about it all. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
Dan, let's begin with Taiwan.
You want to begin with Taiwan?
Please.
Or I'll be glad to begin with Taiwan. I just want to compliment you on this being possibly the only program anywhere on radio and television this weekend which is not devoting itself to those famous 100 days of the president.
Oh, well, who's counting? Who's counting? The United States said this week it's not going to sell Taiwan every top-of-the-line item it wants for its military defense, but it is going to sell it enough to unsettle the Chinese. They say they're displeased. Mm-hmm. Is this decision a concession to Chinese sensitivities or a warning?
Or maybe both. I'll tell you, would you think less of me if I tell you I have trouble casing the inscrutable West and haven't begun yet with the inscrutable East? But yeah. Let's put it this way. We offered them a lot of military toys of various kinds, like submarines, and China doesn't like that very much. Mm-hmm. My guess, however, is that while they protest loudly and protest one decibel more, and they would have protested more if there had been the inclusion of these very fancy Aegis-class destroyers, I think probably if they, among themselves, that they're saying the U.S. did apparently try to strike a balance short of giving all the worst things and that this will blow over.
The actual items in that bill of sale might have been overshadowed this week by remarks that President Bush made with our friend Charlie Gibson on Good Morning America. Let's listen to it now.
You made the decision on arms sales to Taiwan. I'm curious if you in your own mind feel that if Taiwan were attacked by China, do we have an obligation to defend the Taiwanese?
Yes, we do. And the Chinese must understand that.
With the full force of American military.
Whatever it took to help Taiwan defend herself.
You know, Scott, if I were offering lines to Ari Fleischer, the press spokesman for the White House, I would offer him this line in response to explain all of that, mm-hmm. that when the president speaks off the cuff, he does not necessarily speak for this administration. I'll tell you.
Well, did he change a generation of foreign policy with that offhand remark?
Did he? Well, he may have. It was a forthright statement that the United States would go all out to defend Taiwan against an attack, and this ended what you might call 22 years of strategic ambiguity. And let me take a moment out here because I go back 50 years to when we negotiated our membership in the NATO alliance. Mm-hmm. And the final and the key issue was what would be the nature of the American commitment to go to war if the Soviets attacked one of our allies. The final compromise was to say that an attack on one would be considered an attack on all, but still short of giving an automatic commitment, which the United States does not like to give. In the case of Taiwan, we go back to 1979, and the commitment reads something like this, that if there were an attack on Taiwan, this would be considered a matter of grave concern to the United States. And that's where it is. We do not and have not in the past given automatic commitments. What President Bush appeared to do, if one takes what he said seriously, was to come very close to an automatic commitment. That is dangerous, not only because of its possible effect on China, but and perhaps even more because of its possible effect on Taiwan. If Taiwan were led to believe that they could declare their independence and then count on American support in case of a Chinese attack, that would be very perilous.
Mm-hmm. Let me just follow up for a moment, because it's the tendency of people in our industry to, I must say, jump on the President of the United States when he makes a statement like this. Do you get the impression in a practical way that this statement can't easily be reversed tomorrow on the talk shows if that's what the administration wants to do?
Oh, I think that the State Department and the White House were busy all that same day reversing it. And by the end saying that the policy has not been changed. They could not say the president misspoke. They don't like saying things like that. But they were in fact saying, never mind what the president said, things are as they were.
Okay, let me ask about the Japanese choosing a new prime minister this week, Junichiro Koizumi, and my apologies, we'll get to pronounce that name more expertly as the months go on. He seems a real departure from the people who preceded him in that job.
Yeah, I think it's right. Here is Japan mired in recession, mired in long corruption. a country where tradition is a very great force, but then even tradition in the end in Japan must give way to some break with the past. What they did was to pick a very popular and a very populist maverick. Mm-hmm. He started in business by doing this thing unthinkable in Japan. He named 5 women to his cabinet in key positions. Sounded a little bit like New Democrat Bill Clinton when he said that as soon as possible we have to end economic recovery. We have to have an economic recovery. Yeah. It was a little bit like a laser beam on the economy.
And Mr. Koizumi, I guess he's chosen that a cabinet that looks like Japan. Maybe that's what the papers there are saying.
Yes.
Let's ask about the flooding that continues to afflict communities up and down the Mississippi River. Hundreds of millions of dollars of damage in this country. But it was reported this week that this new Bush administration budget is going to include spending reductions on some of the most popular FEMA, Emergency Manpower Administration, relief programs.
That's right. I'll tell you, what Davenport, Iowa did not badly need was for Joe Albaugh, director of FEMA, to come in and tell the people they should have built a flood wall years ago. I think that is not helping them in the way however, he says, with your problems here, we'll be on top of that. He's unable to say how much money he's going to give because that's a matter now of the budget. And it is true, as you suggest, that they were planning to cut down on some of the money for FEMA in the budget. Mm-hmm. And so all he can say is, what he said, we care about you.
Is that going to be politically popular, though, to try and stick to those plans?
Iowa was not really a Republican state anyway, and I don't think will soon become.
Okay. Bush administration decided this week to cut back on the money it's going to devote to tobacco litigation. Is this a signal that big tobacco can relax a bit?
In terms of federal suits, yes, I think so. And as with floods and as with FEMA, the best way to understand the intentions of the administration is how it does its budgeting. So the Justice Department came up with figures that they were asked to provide $58 million to continue the suit. They offered $1.8 million. Then there was a memo which said, gee, that's not enough, and the memo leaked, and then they got very mad and they fired the people who they thought might have leaked that memo. Mm-hmm. So the fact of the matter is, yes, they're quickly withdrawing. I mean, while Attorney General Ashcroft, on confirmation, was asked, he said he has no predisposition to dismiss the suit, but it looks to me as if no predisposition, there is already a disposition to get rid of that suit.
Congress voted this week on legislation that would outlaw violence to a fetus. Practically, what does this legislation do?
Well, it establishes criminal penalties for harming a fetus, and it establishes the fetus as a human being, and therefore, while not specifically saying that this applies to abortion, in fact, it doesn't apply to abortion, is what it says, the effect of it is to give the pro-life people a precedent that will probably serve in the campaign against abortion.
But will it actually have the effect of overturning a legalized abortion in this country?
Not in itself. It says it's not meant to apply to abortion.
And let me ask you about this. Former Democratic Senator Bob Kerrey has acknowledged that during his tour of duty in Vietnam in 1969, he led a Navy SEAL raid, a raid in which Vietnamese women and children were killed. This is not the raid for which he was decorated mm-hmm. with the Medal of Honor. What do you assess of the inward-looking America has undertaken with reporting of this incident?
Well, this awful war still lives very much in the American psyche, and people don't know what to say about it, but I must say that least appropriately would people talk about it who found a way not to serve in that world when they might have, whether it be Dan Quayle or Bill Clinton or George W. Bush, for that matter. There's a big silence that greets all this, and maybe that's the way it should be.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.